This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Shares of Netflix plunge as subscriber growth falls short of estimates.
Sales for Amazon Prime Day soar despite technical glitches in the event's first hours.
Fed Chairman Jay Powell testifies on Capitol Hill.
And Goldman Sachs reports second quarter results.
President Trump says relations are better with Russia after yesterday's summit. However, top Republicans have slammed Trump's remarks in Helsinki. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, it's Major League Baseball's Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game from our nation's capital, preceded by an epic home run derby.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Kara in Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Stocks this morning struggling for direction. While the dollar weakens, it is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down a point, little change. Dow futures are up 12, NASDAQ futures down 6. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 are both up about the same, both up about 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.4%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.86%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down less than 0.1%, down 5 cents to $68.01 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $3.50 to $12.43.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.17.30. The yen, 1.12.39. Bob.
We begin with a plot twist from Netflix. Disappointing earnings. The company's stock is off its worst levels of the morning, but still down 10% in early trading after it added far fewer subscribers than expected last quarter. Emily Chang reports from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
It was a huge miss for Netflix on new subscriber additions, well below the street expectations and well below Netflix's own guidance. The company adding just over 5 million new subscribers in the quarter. Analysts had expected over 6 million. Lots of possible concerns here, including that the company may not be making new content fast enough, including new seasons of shows that are already hits. The big question is it a blip? Is it just a speed bump? Or is this part of a longer-term trend? Emily Chang, Bloomberg, San Francisco.
Emily, thank you. Now the next big name to report, Goldman Sachs. The firm is among 10 companies in the S&P 500. Out with earnings today, we get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the global investment bank's second quarter revenue growth may have outpaced that of its peers. Experts say Goldman had a relatively easier comparison than most, and its numbers were likely buoyed by strong equities trading and U.S. underwriting. Forecasts are for Goldman to post an adjusted profit of $4.66 a share on revenue of $8.75 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Also today, we could get that announcement that President David Solomon will take over the helm at Goldman Sachs. The firm's earnings release is set for around 7:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
United Health is out with earnings this morning that beat analyst estimates with earnings of $3.14 a share. Analysts were looking for $3.04 a share. United Health also raised its outlook for the year.
Sales for Amazon's Prime Day soared when the event kicked off yesterday afternoon. That's despite widespread technical glitches for many shoppers on the site. Bloomberg's Spencer Soper has more from our Seattle Bureau.
Shoppers were disappointed on Monday when they got to the site. Many of them had trouble using the search engine to find things, checking out, adding things to their cart. Shopping still went off pretty well. The first hour, they sold four times as many things as they did in the first hour of Prime Day last year. I'm Spencer Soper for Bloomberg News in Seattle.
Thanks, Spencer. And the data we have so far covering the first few hours of this year's event shows shoppers spent 54% more during this year's Amazon Prime Day. Feedvisor says the glitches limited sales only in the first hour of the event.
We turn to Capitol Hill now, where Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell testifies before the Senate Banking Committee today. Michael McKee reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
These hearings are less about what the Fed chairman says about the economy than what he can't. Powell said just last week the U.S. economy is in a good place and signaled no urgency to raise rates faster. What Washington and Wall Street really want to know, however, is how trade tensions and tax cuts may affect that outlook. And will uncertainty about both change corporate investment and hiring plans? To date, Fed officials have said they just don't know, so expect Powell to remain cautious and offer little to move markets in his testimony. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Michael. We'll bring those remarks to you live from Fed Chairman Jay Powell on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10 this morning, Wall Street time.
And as Powell heads to Capitol Hill, another Fed official is issuing a warning on the flattening U.S. yield curve. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari says there is little reason to raise rates much further. He's looking at the convergence of the interest rates on government debt, the flattening yield curve. As it gets closer to inverting, where short-term rates are higher than longer-dated treasuries, Kashkari fears it may put the brakes on the economy and risk triggering a recession. Inversions have historically signaled downturns. Right now, the difference between 2- and 10-year treasuries is just over a quarter of a percentage point. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. In the UK, another day brings another problem for Prime Minister Theresa May when it comes to Brexit. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek is live in London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. One of Theresa May's key pieces of Brexit legislation back in Parliament yesterday escaped defeat by just 3 votes after the Prime Minister adopted Brexiteer amendments that angered pro-EU lawmakers. And that led a 10th member of her government to quit in order to vote against May. And she needed the backing of 3 rebels from the opposition Labour Party to win that. The pressure set to continue today as lawmakers debate the trade bill. Some of those backing a close relationship with the EU tabling a last-minute amendment aimed at keeping Britain in a customs union with the bloc. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Meanwhile, employment in the UK has reached a record high. The UK economy added 137,000 jobs in the 3 months through May. That takes the country's employment rate to the highest level since records began in 1971. And again, futures this morning, they are a little changed. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. The president returns to controversy. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Under a cloud of controversy, President Trump says U.S. relations with Russia have dramatically improved because of his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Trump on Fox says the election meddling investigation drove a wedge between us and Russia.
And they drove a phony wedge. It's a phony witch hunt, rigged deal.
The president's remarks come days after the independent counsel produced indictments against 12 Russian nationals. A growing number of Republican lawmakers harshly criticized President Trump's performance at yesterday's news conference with Putin in Helsinki. Trump refused to publicly acknowledge Russia's meddling in the U.S. elections. Senator Jeff Flake says the president throwing U.S. intelligence agencies under the bus was not a good day for America.
It's baffled all of us. It's one thing to heap praise on dictators and authoritarians, as he's done continually for the last couple of years, but another to belittle our own allies and demean them.
Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin is speaking following yesterday's summit with President Trump. In an interview with Fox News, Putin denied any meddling in the U.S. election.
The idea was about hacking an email account of a Democratic candidate. Was it some rigging of facts? Was it some forgery of facts? That's the important thing that I'm trying to, point that I'm trying to make. Was this any false information planted? No, it wasn't.
A 29-year-old Russian woman was arrested after she was accused of acting as a covert agent inside the U.S. Officials say Maria Butina tried to infiltrate the NRA and organize dinners so she could report back to Moscow about what she had learned. Former President Barack Obama will be in South Africa today. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports.
The former president will deliver the annual Nelson Mandela lecture on what would have been the anti-apartheid icon's 100th birthday. Obama is expected to urge young people to work for human rights and fair societies and to draw attention to values he sees as under threat in the U.S. and around the world. Former Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes tells the Associated Press he doesn't expect Obama to make any mention of President Trump. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. It's the All-Star break for Major League Baseball, a time to take a moment, pause, and see just how your team stacks up. Yankees fans have enjoyed one of the best seasons in recent memory as New York is 62-33. One of the big reasons why is Aaron Judge, who talked about how special the All-Star game is.
It's quite an honor. It's humbling, you know, every single time, you know, especially last year, my first time, and getting an opportunity to come back again this next year was, can't really describe it, you know, so I just, you know, got to thank all my teammates and coaches and family all along the way for, you know, always pushing me and motivating me and getting me to this position.
Judge is second in baseball with 25 home runs. He'll bat sixth tonight for the American League. It's the one guaranteed night per year where Yankees fans can root for the Red Sox. That would be lefty Chris Sale, who gets the pearl to start the game. The Southpaw is 10-4 with a 2.23 ERA, second best in baseball. Sale knows he needs to bring his A game, going opposite hometown favorite, the Nationals' Max Scherzer.
His intensity, the fire he brings, you know, he really commands a baseball game when he's the starting pitcher. I was hoping I was going to be able to face him in the lineup, you know, being nationally and everything, but he can swing it pretty good too, so I don't know if that would have been a good idea. But like he said, you know, when you face guys like that, it brings out the best in you. And
it's the Midsummer Classic, first pitch, 8 Eastern from Nationals Ballpark. Play resumes for the Yankees Friday night at home versus the Mets. Monday marked the annual Home Run Derby. Nats All-Star Bryce Harper wowed the hometown fans in more ways than one. Washington sent an email to fans saying for every Derby home run hit by Harper, they'll lower the $46 box seats by a dollar. Harper crushed 45 dingers, so box seats to the Mets and Reds games are just a buck. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. Never mind the national anthem controversy. The NFL is richer than ever. The league distributed a record $8.1 billion to its teams last season. That's up almost 5% from 2016, according to a financial disclosure by the Green Bay Packers. S&P futures down 3 points, a tenth of 1%. This is Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Jerome Powell will probably say the U.S. economy is in a good place when he testifies to the Senate Banking Committee today. Investors will look for clues on his adherence to 4 rate hikes in 2018, particularly if they risk inverting the yield curve. The Helsinki hubbub is raging on as President Trump is rebuked even by close supporters. Newt Gingrich called Trump's comments the most serious mistake of his presidency. Hedge funds were in the red at the end of the first half. CTA managed futures strategies performed worst, due in part to weakness in emerging markets, while event-driven funds did best. And shares in Netflix are plunging after subscriber growth disappointed. The 5.2 million users added last quarter missed estimates by about a million and may have been hurt by a relative lack of new hit shows. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. S&P futures are lower now, down 4.5 points. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures down 17 as well. They had been little changed for much of the morning. DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.25% or 17 cents to $67.89 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.10 to $12.42.70. announced. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the FBI arrested a Russian woman for allegedly acting as an agent of the Russian government in the U.S. Federal prosecutors said Maria Butina worked at the direction of a high-level Russian government official to cultivate ties to the NRA and other politically powerful groups in the U.S. Warren Buffett contributed $3.4 billion to five charities, as the billionaire investor continues making good on a pledge to give away all of his Berkshire Hathaway shares. Major League Baseball plays its All-Star game tonight. Last night, the Nationals' Bryce Harper won the Home Run Derby. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. The Fed chair delivers semi-annual testimony before Congress. That begins this morning. And let's get a preview. Playing the part of Chairman Powell this morning, Carl Riccadonna, the chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Economics. Mr. Riccadonna, thank you for appearing this morning. Let's start with a yield curve. It's less curvy. Does that matter?
Good morning, John. Pleasure to be on the program. The yield curve is very flat, and this does matter. Chair Powell has gotten a lot of criticism in his run-up to the chairmanship that he was not a formally trained economist, per se. And I think he has much more valuable experience, in fact, given his extensive private sector experience. And part of that means he understands private sector lending conditions and what stimulates them and what restrains them. And one thing that restrains private sector lending is absolutely a flatness of the yield curve, which makes a trying environment for banks and other types of credit intermediaries. And that's a situation that will cool down the economy, and I suspect Chairman Powell does not want to go down that path at this juncture. And so the real question is, we know he's going to sound good on the economy. Recently he said he's not losing sleep on the economy, but Mrs. Market is telling us a different signal given that flatness of the yield curve. And historically, when the yield curve inverts, that's often led to recession. Is Chair Powell willing to charge willy-nilly into a fourth rate hike this year and a potential curve inversion? That's the trillion-dollar question in today's testimony.
I don't have $1 trillion, but answer the question for it. What do you think?
Well, what I think is going to happen is, I guess we'll hear that cheerleading. However, the Fed may be talking a good game now, but we're starting to see some cracks in the facade in terms of that conviction for the fourth rate hike. It was, you know, it's a very subtle shift in the dot plot that gets them to four hikes this year as opposed to three hikes in a December pause. I suspect a flatness of the yield curve, maybe some volatility in the equity markets, a strong dollar, among other factors, will mean that financial conditions are tightening in a manner that they can avoid that Q4 rate hike and instead push that off into 2019.
All right. Are we going to get a straight answer on the impact of a trade war on economic growth?
Well, I think you'll get an earnest answer and a forthright answer, but I don't think you'll get a conclusive answer. So Chair Powell has made it clear that the Fed is trying to assess the impact of a trade war on the economic outlook. However, there's very little modern precedent to compare to, so this is a very difficult modeling scenario for macroeconomists. So he will try to answer honestly, and it won't be a good answer. He'll say that it will have a negative toll on economic growth in the medium term, but he will not provide much clarity because the Fed simply doesn't have that clarity.
Okay, let's get the bottom line question out of the way. Is there going to be anything market moving?
Well, certainly Humphrey Hawkins, the semi-annual testimony, has in the past contained market moving developments. So I can't guarantee. I certainly think that Chair Powell said going into this aiming to avoid a market reaction, but that doesn't mean that the market won't like an answer to a question or two, especially when the theme of this, or at least the theme of what's relevant, is going to be those market dynamics around the flatness of the yield curve, the Fed balance sheet unwind, all of those issues.
How much of a disconnect is there between what the Fed is forecasting and what the markets are expecting? 30 seconds.
Well, we can certainly see a difference. So the Fed is talking about 3 to 4 rate hikes in total for 2018, another 3 in 2019, and potentially moving beyond the neutral Fed funds rate. The market sees a very different outcome, and if the market doesn't get what it wants, then we're going to see that curve inversion.
Thank you, Carl Riccadonna. We appreciate it. The Fed chair delivering the semi-annual testimony before Congress this morning. We begin our live coverage at 10 o'clock Wall Street time on both Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg Television. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Shares of Netflix are down more than 11% in early trading after the company attracted far fewer subscribers than expected last quarter. Still, Netflix bulls like GBH Chief Strategy Officer Dan Ives are calling this merely a speed bump.
You know, we've seen blowout results the last, call it, 6 to 8 quarters. This is definitely what I view as more of a speed bump, not the start of a negative trend.
For others, the results from Netflix raise questions about growth at the company and whether it can regain subscriber momentum.
Goldman Sachs, Johnson & Johnson, and United Continental Holdings lead 10 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. Revenue from fixed income, currencies, commodities, and consumer lending will be in focus at Goldman. Bloomberg's Caroline Gage has more.
The thing we'll be interested to hear about is what Goldman, you know, has planned for its consumer lending business. They've been talking about it more as an engine for growth in the future. I mean, right now it's not, you know, a huge part of their bottom line.
Analysts estimate earnings per share of $4.65 for Goldman.
UnitedHealth's continued effort to diversify beyond health insurance is paying off. The biggest U.S. health insurer reported earnings this morning that topped analyst estimates.
Investors will look for the latest clues on monetary policy when Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testifies before the Senate Banking Committee this morning. We will bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
And Amazon sales rose sharply during the first 3 hours of its Prime Day sales event, despite fears that technical glitches would significantly hurt business. Shoppers spent 54% more in the first 3 hours of this year's event than in the first 3 hours of a year ago, according to Feedvisor.
And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 1283. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently higher to 13.08. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are lower after being little changed for much of the morning. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 19, NASDAQ futures down 18. The DAX in Germany down 0.2%, also extending its declines. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.2% or 10 cents to $67.96 a barrel. COMEX gold higher up 0.25% or $3.50 to $12.43.20 an ounce. The euro at $1.1726 and the yen 112.45. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street, and the president returns to Washington. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump was greeted by protesters outside the White House after a controversial news conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. Trump questioned whether Russia interfered in the 2016 election and suggested he equally trusted his national intelligence director and Putin. Trump told Sean Hannity on Fox News relations are better with Russia after yesterday's summit.
I think we're doing really well with Russia as of today. I thought we were doing horribly before today. Really, I mean horribly, dangerously.
It was that big, that dramatic today.
Oh, I think it was great today, but I think it was really bad 5 hours ago. I think we really had a potential problem.
A growing number of Republican lawmakers harshly criticized Trump. Republican Senator Jeff Flake called the president's performance shameful. However, a few Republicans are standing by Trump, including Representative Daryl Issa, who says for the president to cast doubt is not inappropriate. But
Putin is an evil man who has killed many people in his own country. There's no question at all that Russia is still a adverse entity to the United States.
Meanwhile, GOP Representative Will Hurd, who was with the CIA, says, I never would have thought that the U.S. president would become one of the ones getting played by old KGB hands. A bill formally defining Israel as the Jewish state is nearing the home stretch after years of false starts. Bloomberg's Michael Arnold in Tel Aviv reports critics of the bill say it's discriminatory.
A parliamentary committee was set to vote Monday night on a draft anchoring in law Israel's self-definition as a Jewish democratic state. The full parliament would then approve the bill before breaking for summer vacation next week. Detractors say the bill is unfair to Arab citizens, who make up about 20% of the population. It's also likely to anger Palestinian officials, who say Jews are not a people and thus are not entitled to their own country. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will continue to protect minorities, but that the majority has its rights too, and this bill seeks to enshrine them. In Tel Aviv, Michael Arnold, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The NYPD says it will allow disciplinary proceedings to go forward against a patrolman accused in the chokehold death of an unarmed black man, saying it has run out of patience with the federal authorities' indecision about whether to bring a criminal case. It has been almost 4 years since Eric Garner died. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The All-Star break is here for Major League Baseball, so even the red-hot Yankees will take a break from their outstanding season despite being 4.5 back of the Red Sox. They've won 62 games. The Nationals' Bryce Harper smashed 45 home runs to win the Home Run Derby and come-from-behind fashion, earning Nats fans $1 seats to two upcoming games. Harper, in a contract year, is excited about the game being in his own ballpark.
It's great for the city. I think D.C. Has been wanting this for a long time. You know, the fans, they do a great job of coming out and supporting us every single night. You know, I'm looking forward to tonight and tomorrow and to, you know, really take it all in with our fans and, you know, my family, and just really excited that it's in the nation's capital.
Harper will bat sixth for the National League with teammate Max Scherzer on the mound. Yankees' Aaron Judge will also hit sixth for the American League. He's joined by Gleyber Torres and pitchers Aroldis Chapman and Luis Severino. Jacob deGrom is the lone Met representative. First pitch, 80 Eastern from Nationals Ballpark. Division rival Baltimore is having one of their worst years in franchise history and clinging to All-Star infielder Manny Machado. The talk of trade bait for well over a month. Machado doesn't know where he may wind up.
You know what? I don't know what the right fit is, obviously, until it's there. The only thing I've ever known has been the Orioles organization. They drafted me. I came up with the organization, done everything with them, so I don't know anything different.
The trade deadline's July 31st. Yankees and Dodgers considered to be front runners. In fact, Machado catching heat because he took to social media and liked a picture of him wearing a Yankees uniform. To be continued. NBA Summer League update from Vegas. Tough sledding for both local clubs. Knicks are 2-3. The Nets are 0-5. Just two unbeaten teams. The Lakers and Blazers, both 6-0, hook up tonight. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Senator John McCain's verdict on President Trump's performance at the summit in Helsinki was brutal, but just. No prior president has ever abased himself more abjectly before a tyrant. Standing alongside Russian President Vladimir Putin, Trump failed to support his own government's assessment that Russian agents mounted a cyber attack against the U.S. throughout the election of 2016, an elaborate effort to sabotage America's democracy. Only a few days earlier, Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller had indicted a dozen Russian agents for the attack. Trump said Putin told him, "It's not Russia," implying that Putin is a more credible source of information about Russian skullduggery than the combined intelligence agencies of the U.S. government. It was an astonishing display, and one that should leave the president's supporters alarmed. A country can hardly defend itself against future assaults if its president can't acknowledge the ones that have already taken place. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. When it comes to health care in the U.S., Taxing health plans that don't comply with Obamacare may be one way to help people who don't receive federal premium subsidies. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
The number of unsubsidized enrollees in the Affordable Care Act is dropping off quickly, a dip of 20% last year compared with the year before. One idea is to impose a new tax on new plans that do not comply with the ACA.
They don't cover all of the things that Obamacare covers, and they don't have to cover people with pre-existing conditions at the same rates.
Bloomberg Law's Sarah Hansard says Wake Forest University law professor Mark Hall believes taxing those plans and offering help to those not receiving subsidies might be, quote, the least worst path forward. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thank you very much. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. More of the world will run on electricity in the future, and still, most of the power won't be clean. That's the key message from the International Energy Agency's latest report on investment trends. While the Paris-based organization says electricity generation attracted more capital than oil and natural gas for the second year in a row, investment in renewables declined and is expected to keep falling. Running the economy on electricity is just one part of the energy transition. The question of where the power comes from is also key. Electrifying transport will reduce air pollution in cities, which is largely attributed to nitrogen oxide emissions from vehicles. The issue won't ultimately be solved, the agency warns, if they're simply reduced and replaced by carbon dioxide and other pollution from fossil fuel power plants. The IEA calls the latest decline in renewable energy investment a worrying trend. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It's a day of breaking economic news crossing the Bloomberg. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 28 points, S&P's dropped 5, and NASDAQ futures declined by 17. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.85%, and Hong Kong fell 1.3% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading lower, led by losses in France and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:15, industrial production, and at 10 o'clock, the NHB Housing Market Index. After the bell last night, Netflix Q3 subscriber views missed estimates. Shares are down 12% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, UnitedHealth boosted its forecast for the year. J&J cut its sales view for the year. Shares are trading lower by 2.6% in the pre-market. And look for Goldman Sachs to report around 7:30. In other news, Pepsi to replace Dish Network in the NASDAQ 100. That is effective July 23rd. And wrapping things up, Netflix was upgraded to outperform at BMO and was downgraded to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Generac and Goodyear were downgraded to sell over at Goldman Sachs. And Intel downgraded to inline over at Evercore ISI. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And thank you again for that breaking earnings news. And as you said, Johnson & Johnson down 2.5% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump suggesting he equally trusts U.S. intelligence and Russian leader Vladimir Putin triggered an intense backlash from Republicans. Trump sided with Putin against the U.S. intelligence community's consensus that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. Hawaii tour boat operators plan to continue taking visitors to see lava, but they will stay farther away after an explosion caused molten rock to barrel through the roof of a vessel, injuring 23 people. Major League Baseball plays its All-Star game tonight. Last night, the Nationals' Bryce Harper won the home run derby. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal. The owner of the Mandalay Bay is suing more than 1,000 victims of the Las Vegas shooting. According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, it's a preemptive effort to avoid liability. Lawyer Robert Eaglet, who represents several victims from the October shooting, says the hotel is taking the unusual action to get the cases heard in federal court instead of state court. And Eaglet goes on to say that I have never seen a more outrageous thing where they sue the victims in an effort to find a judge they like, Bob.
I have no words. Maybe end justice for all, huh?
Well, apparently they're not looking for money, but go what you will. Anyway, Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. The agenda in our nation's capital is quite light today. President Trump's schedule includes just one event. He meets with members of Congress in the Roosevelt Room at 2 p.m. Meantime, the political rhetoric continues to run hot in the wake of the president's meeting with Russian leader Vladimir Putin yesterday. Democrats are criticizing yesterday's summit, but we're also hearing dissent from Republicans, such as Senator Bob Corker, Representative Daryl Issa, and Senator Jeff Flake.
The president's comments made us look as a nation more like a pushover.
Putin is an evil man who has killed many people in his own country. There's no question at all that Russia is still a adverse entity to the United States.
Putin had a good day, and I'm sure he was doing cartwheels on the plane. But it wasn't a good day for America.
At the same time, there are Republicans who support the president's actions yesterday. Here's Senator Rand Paul.
The people who are criticizing having dialogue with Russia and are overstating that somehow this grants legitimacy to Putin are people who aren't really looking at this in a very realistic way. I think foreign policy realism looks at the world more as it is and looks at the world in a way in which we try to minimize the risk of conflict.
Let's get more on the reaction to yesterday's summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, we know that there has been no love lost between the president and John McCain, but it seems to me Mr. McCain's words were especially brutal.
Absolutely. He has one of the strongest reactions. He called the president's performance at the press conferences one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory, and said the summit in Helsinki was a, quote, tragic mistake. So those are pretty strong words coming from John McCain. As you said, they have had a historic rivalry, but this, I think, is a pretty strong message.
And there has been somewhat a softer reaction from the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, Paul Ryan basically didn't rail on Trump directly for what Trump said, but more sort of underscored the importance of holding Russia to account, which is something the president clearly didn't do. So I think it's noticeable that Ryan, who has been very remiss to directly challenge the president, did do so, if only obliquely.
Now, we've got President Trump refusing to condemn Putin on that meddling in the election, and really, by the account of some Republican lawmakers, throwing the intelligence community under the bus.
Yeah, I think that's pretty significant. You know, he definitely said that he values Putin's opinions on these matters at least as much as he values his own Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats. And that was a really, really, I think, significant kind of gasp-worthy moment of that press conference for a lot of people, myself included.
Okay, so we've got these words. Is there any indication on Capitol Hill that this could go further than that?
Well, the president's going to meet. He has this kind of strange meeting on his schedule today. It's a meeting on Capitol Hill with members of Congress, but it's not disclosed at all what the topic is or who exactly he's going to be meeting with. So I think that bears some watching. But I think so far, really, it's just been a rhetorical response. You know, we're not hearing anything from Republicans saying we're going to censure folks here, we're going to issue subpoenas, we're going to do, we're going to pass resolutions endorsing Robert Mueller's investigation, nothing along those lines. So I think right now the responses are really just rhetorical in nature.
And for the president's part in all this, we've gone in just a matter of hours from relations between the U.S. and Russia have never been worse to it sounding like they've never been better.
Well, this is classic Trump. You know, I think it reminds me a lot of his posture during the run-up and then aftermath of his summit with Kim Jong-un in Singapore last month is, you know, basically declare a problem that you may or may not arguably a problem or not a problem, i.e., you know, relations are the worst they've ever been, and then wait, you know, a matter of hours or a few days and declare that you have fixed that problem, that you've unilaterally solved it. And so I think this is what we've seen Trump do time and again, but the facts don't really necessarily back it up.
Let me come back to what the president said about the intelligence community and about whether Russia actually did interfere in the election. Help me out here, because it seems to me that he has gone flip-flopping on both sides of this issue. He has said, well, yeah, they might have interfered. Yesterday, it sounded like he just simply said, no, they didn't.
To me, that was one of the more stunning parts of the press conference was, yeah, when he basically declared that he believed Putin and Putin's denial. Putin very strongly denied that Russia had anything to do with interfering in U.S. elections. And Trump saying that he believes him, essentially, I think is really significant. And I think that is perhaps one of the most stunning aspects of what happened yesterday.
What beyond today, what's on the president's calendar? Where is this likely to go in the next several days?
Well, now he's back in D.C. His schedule, as you noted, is pretty light today. He does have this meeting on Capitol Hill, but that's about it. And then, you know, I think that he is going to be looking to kind of potentially focus back on trade and the economy and domestic issues. I think by all accounts, his meeting with Putin was a disaster. And so I think that he'll be certainly lurking to turn the page on that and focus on a different narrative.
Our thanks to Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories as they unfold on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
About 90% of U.S. businesses are organized as pass-throughs and can range from mom-and-pop convenience stores to private equity funds. The new tax law allows business owners whose income is reported on their personal tax returns to claim up to a 20% deduction on that income. But a senior administration official is telling Bloomberg U.S. Treasury Department rules outlining which of those businesses can claim the deduction are likely to be delayed until the end of this month. The regulations, which will determine how many of the so-called pass-through businesses can take advantage of a special tax break under the 2017 tax law, are some of the most anticipated following the bill's passage. Hundreds of thousands of U.S. employers still don't know if they qualify. Treasury officials had previously said they were aiming to issue the rules at the end of last month. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. And we are watching shares of Johnson & Johnson this morning down 1.6% in early trading. It's cut its sales view for the year, although second quarter profit did beat analyst estimates. Also, United Health Group's continued effort to diversify beyond health insurance appears to be paying off. The U.S.'s biggest health insurer said that operating profit at its Optum unit, which provides consulting, clinical, and drug services, was up 22% in the second quarter to about $1.9 billion. The widening margins helped the company report adjusted earnings that beat analyst estimates for the quarter. And futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down 4 points. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.